Chapter 5. The skull tried to explain why the tracking spell he showed me was going to work when my own had failed, but about 5 seconds into the technical talk, I started substituting blah, blah, blah for everything he was saying. I'm not a wizard, okay? I'm a cheap hack. I don't care why it works, as long as it works. The Stygian had staged her little charade in a warehouse down in Hammond. When I caught up to my brother, he and the Stygian were lurking in an alley across the street from the warehouse, watching the place. The Stygian was playing her part, that of the frightened, nervous female, anxious with the need to bring her offspring safely home again. She was a reasonably good actress, too, for someone with so little humanity. She was probably a couple of centuries old. She'd had time to get in some practice. I went up the side of the building adjacent to the warehouse so that I could get a look at the place, too. There were a couple more ghouls guarding the building, wearing the brown uniforms of private security personnel. They kept up a regular walking routine around the warehouse's exterior and interior, and they weren't bothering to so much as glance up at the rooftop I was on. It was 5 floors up with no fire escape and nothing but bricks to hold on to. Why should they? I paced down to the back side of the warehouse, where Harry and the Stygian couldn't spot me, waited until the pacing ghouls were both out of sight, and then leapt the 40 feet or so from my rooftop to the roof of the warehouse. I landed in a roll in near complete silence and froze for a long moment, waiting to see if anyone raised an outcry. No one did. I hadn't been spotted. I settled down to wait. Harry made his move sometime between 3 and 4 in the morning, when the guards were most likely to be bored, tired, and convinced that nothing was going to happen tonight, and when there would be the fewest possible witnesses or innocent bystanders. From the front of the warehouse came his resonant baritone, crying out one of those pretend Latin spell incantations he uses. There was a flash of light, a boom like thunder, and a crash of something slamming into sheet metal with the force of a cannonball. Scratch one ghoul. My brother hates the creatures with a passion so pure that it's almost holy. If his first attack hadn't killed the thing, he'd finish it off before long. I heard the other ghoul shriek as it began to transform. Once everyone's attention was on the attack at the front door, I went in through a skylight. The warehouse was stacked high with years of accumulated junk, consisting mostly of the remains of shipping crates, stacks of loading pallets, and broken boxes. An area in the center of the floor had been cleared, and the concrete had been heavily marked up with occult symbols painted in blood, around a table that was obviously intended to be an altar. A kid, a little boy, maybe 9 years old, was bound, hand and foot on the table, his face blotchy from crying. He was screaming and struggling against the ropes, but was firmly secured to the table. Harry cried out again. The glass in both windows of the front side of the warehouse exploded inward in a flash of scarlet light. Something that looked disturbingly like a severed arm went tumbling by the open doorway. I kept looking until I spotted it. The Lexicon Malos, a leather-bound book, like a big old handwritten journal, just the kind of impressive grimoire occult nutjobs like the Stygians are so giddy about. It rested on a little pedestal beside the table. It didn't actually have a flashing neon sign over it reading "Notice Me," but it was pretty close. I went hand over hand along the steel beam rafters until I got to one of the girders that ran down the wall. Then I slid down into the floor and hurried over to the altar and the pedestal. I opened the nylon backpack in my hands, stuffed the Lexicon Malos into it, zipped it closed, and then slid my arms through the shoulder straps. I could have bailed then. I suppose it would have been the smartest thing. Once the book was removed from the equation, the Stygian's entire operation was blown. Granted, she and the other members of the Sisterhood would try it again somewhere else, but they would have been stopped for the time being. But the bitch had messed with my brother. For the time being, wasn't good enough. Harry came through the front door of the warehouse, with the Stygian treading fearfully behind him, pretending to tremble. Tall, skinny, sharp-featured, and somewhat rough-looking, Harry wore his usual wizarding gear, the black leather duster, He carried a carved staff in his left hand, a shorter, more heavily carved rod in his right, and the tip of the rod glowed with a sullen red-orange flame. I was waiting for them. I had wrapped the dark red blanket around my shoulders and upper body like some sort of dramatic ceremonial garb. I stood over the child, a wicked-looking knife I'd found lying on the altar in hand, with my head thrown back and a sneer on my illusion-covered face. "So," I boomed in my most overblown voice, "you have defeated my minions." "You have got to be kidding me," my brother said, staring at me with an expression somewhere between bemusement and naked contempt. "I mean, Jesus, look at this place. I've seen high school plays with a higher production value than this."
"Silence,"
I thundered, pointing the knife at him. I had eyes only for the Stygian, in any case. She was staring at me with a look of blank surprise. "Serves you right, sweetheart. You shouldn't make up stories about imaginary villains until you're certain they won't come true."
"Who dares interrupt my..."
"Yeah, you know what?" Harry asked.
"Forzare!"
His staff snapped forward and an invisible truck hit me at 30 miles an hour. I flew backward 30 feet or so and hit a stack of loading pallets. I went through them. That hurt. I hit the wall behind them. I did not go through it. That hurt even more. I landed, dazed, and wobbled to my feet with the help of my demon. No problem, I told myself. I'd planned to fall back to this position in any case, just not quite that vigorously. The circuit box for the building was on the wall 2 feet to my left. I reached out and killed the lights.
"Crouch down!"
Harry shouted to the woman he thought he was protecting.
"Stay still!"
My demon and I adjusted to the darkness almost instantly. The Stygian had done the same. She had produced a wavy bladed dagger from nowhere and was running toward me on silent feet, her eyes narrowed and intent. I threw the prop knife I'd been holding when she was 10 feet away. She slipped to one side and it went spinning through the air, striking sparks off the far wall. Her knife struck at me, but I slammed the edge of one hand against her forearm, knocking it away before it could do more than scratch me. I followed that with a pair of sharp blows to the body, driving her back a step, and then drew my kukri from beneath the red blanket robes, slashing at her head. I missed her, and the follow-up rake at her eyes that I made with my other hand failed to connect as well. In the background, Harry had his priorities straight. He'd brought forth a little light from his amulet and was cutting the child free from the makeshift altar. I felt my mouth stretch into a fierce grin.
"So smug,"
hissed the Stygian, her reptile eyes flat.
"But not for long."
She raised her voice into a terrified scream.
"Let me go! Don't touch me!"
Harry, holding the child over one shoulder in a fireman's carry, spun toward the sound, raising his blasting rod, and began hurrying toward me.
"Run, Venator," hissed the Stygian. "But the blood of the ancient mothers is in your veins now. Enjoy your last hours."
The nick on my arm, the tiny cut from the dagger, suddenly felt very cold. The book was out of Harry's hands. The child was safe. I fled the building.